So last week on the podcast, I touched on the difference I differentiated between music masters and music publishing, and how we can summarize this for you. If you guys haven't listened to the podcast, please do. Masters versus publishing. But the best way to explain this to you is you look at your masters as your salary, as your wages, mechanical royalties that gets paid out monthly, and depending who you distribute it, but more often it's on the 15th of each month via your distributor. Now, publishing gets paid out quarterly, every 6 months, depends on the structure of the deal and all the dynamics involved with that and who is involved with that. And mechanical royalties focus on the final master recording, where publishing focuses on the sheet music, the underlining music, the composition, the lyrics, and both is, you know, dealt with differently. The record label owns most of the time, owns the masters, where the publishing is owned by the songwriters and the publishers. Now, you can outsource the publishing like we do at Poshmogosh Records, but serving as a publisher, where people outsource the publishing or distribution and publishing to us, or you could become your own publisher as an independent artist. Yes, that is possible, which is actually something I'm going to touch on today on the podcast. Like, I'm going to be talking a lot more on the podcast about entertainment law and how it all works. Now, of course, the Kino is a consulting agency. We can't assist you like if a case has to go all the way to court, but everything else in between, you know, we do assist independent artists and labels with that. So why I want to focus on entertainment law with you guys, you know, more is so you understand how it all works. You understand how law works within the business. So when it comes to a situation or comes to a dispute, you can do your best to actually solve it yourself, or at a cheaper rate, outsource the Kino as a consulting agency to deal with the matter for you. And as I said, in a case where, okay, you know, we go through mediation, we go through arbitration, and nothing actually works out and it has to go to court, that's when we actually allocate a practicing attorney or a law firm to you to assist you further and above. And at times, being an independent artist or being an independent label, I know you guys want to focus on all the creator stuff and the exciting stuff of putting the record together and putting it out there and just living the life of an artist. But in order for you to sustain yourself and grow a sustainable business within the music economy, you have to also focus on the admin. You have to also focus on the legalities. You have to make sure that your split sheets are done. You have to make sure that your contracts are drafted correctly and gone correctly, in the way of, look, there's a negotiation going on between the producer and between the vocalist and, say, you, the label in between. You have to make sure it all goes well and all parties are in the same loop and everybody gets their copy and everybody understands what the contract actually means. So it is extremely, extremely important. So before we move on to the body of the podcast today, as I said, you know, linked to being your own publisher, I'm going to touch on that, your IP as an artist. I'm first going to go into Music Business Worldwide. The link to the website will be in the description for you to read further. So first up is the CEO and chairman of Universal Music Group, Sir Lucian Grange, confirms greater compensation is coming from TikTok for UMG artists and songwriters. Now, if we all keep our eye on the music economy and the music business, we know this dispute has been going on for a long time, like a good few months. Universal Music pulled a catalog from TikTok, with the main reasoning being that the songwriters weren't getting compensated what's fairly due to them. And I actually stood behind this, and I mean, there were many other independent labels around the world who stood behind UMG with this dispute. So now they've finally come to an agreement. An article goes on to say that Universal Music Group and TikTok, by way of a joint announcement, have confirmed that they have struck a new licensing deal 3 months after UMG pulled its recordings catalog from the service. What does it mean for the UMG songwriters, artists and songwriters, and of course for UMG themselves, is more money. That's what it was always for. Now, this raises a concern with the independent space. You know, we stood behind UMG, we supported them, we want fair compensation for artists and songwriters where the music is getting used on TikTok. Now, if UMG and TikTok have made a truce and they've come to an agreement for the UMG roster and the UMG brand as a whole, what does it mean for independent space? Because now it's like, okay, we're going to pay, say, per usage via user-generated content on TikTok. We're going to pay UMG artists, say, $10, but we're going to continue to pay independent artists $1. That there is a question for me within the independent space. Should the big five labels, the mainstream labels, and all other parties involved who stand behind the independent space should have come in and say, okay, look, can't we just make like a standard for all artists within the music economy? You know, that would have been fair. But anyway, one rule I live by, you can't control what happens in other companies and other businesses or with other artists. You just have to focus on what works for you and just always source diverse streams of income as an independent artist and label. Number two, the NMPA's TikTok deal has officially ended. What does it mean for independent publishers in the US? The National Music Publishers Association's licensed deal with TikTok, representing the music publishing rights of multiple indie music publishers, officially expired on Tuesday. The US trade body told its members last month that it was planning to extend the deal, and if they wanted to continue to license their music on TikTok beyond the April 30 deadline, they would need to engage directly with the platform. So there's like a dotted line to number one and what I was saying about where does independent artists stand with TikTok. For me, it's just like there's a lot of question marks there. The last paragraph goes on to say, this means that as of May 1st, music control by indie publishers represented by the trade body who haven't agreed a new direct money agreement with TikTok will be unlicensed for use on the platform. So UMG comes out winning, independent artists are now probably like overwhelmed. Okay, our music, if a new agreement hasn't been made by ourselves, it'll get removed. And even if our music stays on, we're not going to get compensated as much as UMG artists. So a lot of question marks there. And hopefully associations such as the National Music Publishers Association's association, you know, actually steps in and comes up with a remedy for this. Number three, Blackstone launches $1.57 billion bid for Hypnosis Songs Fund. HSF board recommends offer to shareholders. This we touched on last week. Number four, a shaman, Management Coop, a tearful press conference, and a $770 million market cap dip. What the heck is going on at Hype? A week before K-pop giant Hype reported disappointing earnings, revenue down 12% year-on-year in quarter one of 2024, and net profit down 87.5%. The story emerged about conflict between the company and the CEO. So I'm not going to touch on that. You're more than welcome to click the link in the description and read more. Number five, which is a topic we spoke about last week also, is Spotify versus songwriters, in brackets again. NMPA says Spot's latest move to lower royalty rates is likely to end up in a legal conflict. So we did touch on this topic, I think it was last week, the week before, maybe both. So just to sum this up for you, and I'm just going to read the fourth paragraph here. Spotify has recategorized its premium subscription tiers in the States as bundles, enabling it to pay out a lesser mechanical royalty rate to songwriters than it would if said premium tiers were classified as pure music services. So there was an agreement where if it's a service, a tier is seen as a service, Spotify will be obligated to pay out artists and songwriters much more. So I mentioned this on the podcast. They were very strategic in putting it together as a bundle as in music streaming, podcasts, whatever. So they now stand within their rights to actually pay out less. So it's strategic for Spotify as a company, but also see this being like, yeah, as the article goes on to say, another legal conflict that's going to happen. You know, you look at it at both ends where Spotify eliminated piracy and created this awesome platform from the, say, mid-2000s till date and really created a home for artists all over the world. And on the other hand, they pay out peanuts to artists. So on one end, the independent artists will say, okay, the platform wouldn't be what it is today if it wasn't for music. And Spotify will say, okay, but your music wouldn't be safe and you wouldn't have a home for your music and have freedom with your career if it wasn't for us. So yeah, let's see what comes of that. So this is what we're going to talk about today. And to, you know, there's a good percentage of all you independent artists and labels out there that understand what I'm about to talk about. And goes on to say what I said at the beginning about being your own publisher. Now, one of the questions I saw on YouTube this week, someone asked an entertainment lawyer, if I run an independent record label, do I still need to register my artists as a company? So, of course, now this question was raised in the States. So it was like, should I register my artist's name as an LLC? In South Africa, should I register my artist's name as a PTY? So to answer this question to you guys, it's yes. So if you are running your own independent label, or say you're an independent artist and you work with an independent producer, you work with an independent record label, independent publisher, and you all got an agreement amongst each other, working on a partnership agreement like we love to do at Posh Mangosh, it is in your best interest as an artist or if you're a record label who have artists under them to register your artists under their own PTY, under their own entity as a separate business. The main thing, or the main objective of doing this, is to secure your artists' names. Now, I can't quite remember who this artist was. It was sort of a mainstream artist, and it was an article I read last year where this artist did not register the IP, so they weren't seen as a legal entity, and they went on to make, you know, good few records, albums, EPs, and as they were going down, thinking, okay, everything is okay, all is good, here comes another group with good intentions. No one was actually wrong here. They came with good intentions to say, look, buddy, here's the paper proving that the name that you are using, I actually own it. It's the name of our band. It's registered, seen as a legal entity. The artists now who did not follow the correct legal procedures, or company registration procedures to actually get the IP secured, had no choice but to change the name. So it's like, I'm going to use my artist name as an example, which is legally registered as a PTY. I continue my journey as an artist. You know, Kino Isaac is out there. Things are great, but I did not register. And I'm thinking, how would I feel if someone had to come knocking on my door down the line? It can be a couple months from now, it can be a couple of years from now. And like, yo, Kino, Kino Isaac actually belongs to me. I registered it as an entity. That's when I am completely screwed and I got no choice but to change my name. So I've seen, literally seen in independent space, these sort of conflicts happen. And even though I share this advice to independent artists and labels, not many do take it to heart and actually get it done. It's always the excuse of, oh no, we don't have the 175 Rand to register the company, or we don't have the 50 Rand just to reserve our name for the next 6 months. And then, you know, in the 6 months, we'll get the balance to actually register the company. As an artist, you're putting yourself at risk or not doing that because you're not going to be able to secure your IP. You're not going to be able to actually receive income legally, correctly if you're not registered as company. And as an independent record label, how we structure ourselves at Posh Mangosh. And I'm going to share this with you guys. And this is stuff like I only give to paid clients, but I'm going to share this with you. Your label is at the top. And let's say your label is Posh Mangosh Records. Under the label, you have artist A, B, C, D. You need to register artist A, B, C, D with a partnership, a legal partnership agreement, where it could be like, okay, Posh Mangosh Records owns 50%, owns 40%, whatever, of artist A. That also secures the record label, because you don't want, as an independent record label, to have invested in artist A. And there's a single out, here comes an EP and an album, artist A is doing well. Then another record label, say a mainstream record label, or some shrewd businessman comes along and says, okay, look, artist A, you're doing well, I want to invest in you. Here's $1 million. And you're like, okay, cool, got my own company. I'm the sole owner of the company. And then you just leave the record label saying, look, I'm out. Whatever spreadsheet agreements we have, those things will still remain, but I'm just going to go my own way now. And then the record label is actually screwed, because it was actually the record label that created the opportunities for artists. So as a record label, you don't want that. So if you got artists under you, the first thing you do at the start is you say, okay, cool, this is what we're going to do. We're going to register your artist name as a PTY, as a company. We're going to secure that IP. But I am going to be a director. It can be a director. It can be a non-executive director in your business. Another example would be like Party 8. The music is doing well, all thanks to the independent record label. They get a merch deal. Okay. A retailer comes along and says, okay, look, we would love you. We'd love for you to actually endorse our products at a set rate. Let's say the rate again is $1 million. If you as the record label are not a partner in that legal entity, you won't be obligated to anything. Look, you could have a contract on the side. You could. But I find it much more easier if you just remain a director within artist A. So if a merch deal comes along and it's $1 million, then you got 50% ownership in Party A, you will be entitled to 50% of that merch deal, because you actually created the opportunities. So this is more to protect the label who invest in independent artists, which happens most of the time, to secure you, because it's a ruthless industry and the last thing that you need is to be putting in all the work, investing all the time and resources just for the artists to decide, okay, look, I'm going to go my own way and it's a complete loss to you. So it's good to always have the artists registered and work as a separate entity. Like, you could have several businesses registered. You could have one business as a record label. You could have one business as a publisher. You could have one business just for your merch deals. Going back to what I said at the start about being your own publisher, that's possible. But you would need to register as an entity first. When you submit to SAMRO or you apply at SAMRO or whoever your PRO is, to become a publisher, they will require those documents. So if you want to be your own record label, you want to be your own publisher, make sure each entity is registered. Just like Posh Mangosh Records can be a record label and be a publisher under one name, that's also cool. You know, it works for us. Maybe it won't work for you. Maybe you want to keep things separate, whereas you have a publishing company, you have a record label, and then you have your artistic career. And just make sure it's all linked. All parties are linked correctly. And if you want to learn more about this and you want to know how to structure all of this correctly, whether you're doing it alone or whether you're doing it with other people, then please reach out to me, reach out to Kinoa as a consulting agency. One of the models that we have actually built is called the Independent Music Business Partner. That's what the model is called. And just like I explained to you now about how you're going to go about linking each party, it's the same thing that we can do for you smoothly and explain it all and guide you along the process of actually doing it. And if you'd like us to do the full registrations for you as well, no problem at all. So keep in mind, there is a difference between, okay, registered as a legal entity, as a PTY. It doesn't mean, of course, that your logos and how your artist name or your record label logo and stuff is actually secured. That's when you need to register those separate items via following the correct IP registration, depending which country you're from. Also, there's patents. Patents mean that you're all in the studio together and I give you guys an idea on what to do. And the idea is actually used and you guys decide to kick me out. And if I've got no grounds to stand on, then I'm screwed. The idea is yours. But if I have an idea, a patent, and I register that idea, then it's secure. Then it's mine. You know, like if I got an idea, like something I mentioned to you guys about Kinova Edge and how we can make sure that when DJs are performing in clubs, whatever music they're using is actually registered and songwriters actually do get paid via the PRO, that idea is mine. So it's my responsibility to register that patent because someone can come along, be like, okay, this is a dope idea. They actually take action with it. They register it as their patent and then you are screwed. So what does all this come down to? Like, to sum it up, make sure all the legalities are taken care of from the word go. For me personally, going down this road, yes, majority of the time there's a lot of things are secure at the start. But of course, you know, you get caught up and then there's this to deal with and that to deal with. And you forget about like smaller components that you actually need to get done to make sure that, you know, all parties are secured and you don't get it done. You know what happens, but just make sure you get it done in time. It was actually like this week, like on the publishing side of Posh Mogosh Group, I had to spend so much time there with the current catalog that we have and just make sure everything is aligned. And be honest with you guys, even though split sheets and contracts were signed at the start of certain projects, I never registered on the system. And I'm just lucky that whoever I choose to work with, the energy is good. We can trust each other and it doesn't come across much. That's a spirituality plays a huge role in this journey. That, okay, look, now at least I managed to get it done. Managed to reach out to certain people so we can get it done in good faith. So make sure it's always registered. Probably next week, I want to touch on more on IP and infringement within the podcast. And I'm also going to be touching with you guys about digital performance royalties, which is not the same as performance royalties, which is what you get paid for from your PRO. I want to talk about digital performance royalties. I want to talk to you guys about a platform, a company called Sound Exchange, and how to go about that and what that actually means and why that is different from your standard performance royalties. So I'll try to fit that in also with IP / infringement, and there's three forms of infringement I want to discuss with you guys. I'll try to fit that in next week as well. So hope this was insightful, and remember, if you're an independent artist, independent label, and you actually want to get all this done, and you need the guidance, you need the partner, you need the network to make sure that you're fully secured, please reach out to the Kino Isaac Consulting Agency. I will chat to you next week. Peace out.